of God. God's blessing on each one of you. Trust that you have been blessed, as I have, by our service thus far. Beautiful day the Lord has given to us to worship, and it's good to be here in that. I'm also glad to see young folks that are willing to take the step and follow Christ. God bless you, Doran, in that. Very much enjoyed our Sunday school as well. I think the theme, is that the right word? It said something about seeing practical expressions of Christianity in Paul's life. I don't know if I have the wording quite right, but I believe life was pretty real for Paul at times. And he was normal, just like you and I. And I believe he faced some very hard things and some tough going. And he needed some encouragement sometimes. And we see in our lesson, we saw that some brothers came in and encouraged him. And God encouraged him. God gave him a special message of encouragement. And it was a boost in his experience. I was thinking about, practical expressions of Christianity, and Christian life is very practical. And that's where is the expression worn out, the rubber meets the road, everyday life. And very practical subject I'd like to look at here this morning, I feel, from Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, considerations that we've been trying to do here. This morning, I would like to look at Matthew 6, verses 16, 17, and 18. I'm not sure if you have been paying close attention to the last few that I have done. I haven't always taken them in order, but these last few I have. And we did look at teachings on giving. First of all, is headings in my Bible, teachings on giving and teachings on prayer. And now the heading that my Bible has at these verses is teachings on fasting. So that is the subject I want to look at a little bit for a topic this morning. It's maybe a little different subject. I don't remember ever sharing a message on fasting anyway. I just like to look at what these verses say and what other Bible verses have to say on this subject. I feel we're skimming the surface this morning and that there is much that we won't cover. But we'll endeavor to share what God has laid on my heart to share. I'd just like to start by reading these verses. Matthew 6, verse 16. Starts out with "moreover." And remember, he's talking about hypocrisy, not doing things to be seen of men. And he talked about that in their prayer life and in their giving. And he continues right on with that, some of those same thoughts. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Very simple title I've chosen this morning is "The Christian and Fasting." The Christian and Fasting. What is fasting? Do one of you school-age children want to tell me what fasting is? It's not a trick question. Is fasting going to McDonald's and eating fast food? Is that fasting? What's fasting? Anyone brave enough to tell me, your children?
the adults need to help us out. Oh, way back there. There we go. Not eating. That's correct.
You got it. Going without food. Very simple definition. And that's what you find in the dictionary. To go without eating. Secular dictionary. Another definition might be to eat in small amounts or only certain foods. Maybe you have done a fast of, I don't know, what do people not eat? My son did a candy fast not terrible long ago. He did without candy, you know. Maybe you don't eat pork or something like that. Maybe people will do a fast like that. So we know what fasting is. And this word means the same. We have to look up words to see what they actually meant in the Greek or in the Hebrew. And if you look this word up in the Strong's, means just our definition of fast. It says to abstain from food. Okay. So we know what fasting is, to do without food. And I'm pretty sure it goes without saying that for most of us, that's not very enjoyable. I don't know, maybe there's some people here that don't like to eat, I'm not sure. But we like food. We like to eat. We have favorite foods. We like the steak and the shrimp and all kinds of really tasty food. Probably not everyone likes those things. I don't know. We like to try new recipes. Ladies do very good with that. Trying new things, making good recipes and good food. Last evening, we did some burgers over the fire and corn. Tried a new recipe with that. Corn was, that was all right, but burgers, that was really good. Yeah, you can hardly go wrong there. And I think I heard we have a church picnic planned for this week. I'm pretty sure there's going to be food there. I'd be a little disappointed if I come and there's not, but yeah. I hope they're planning for food. We like food, and to fast, to do without food, well, it's just not really at the top of our list of things we like to do, enjoy doing. And I even, as I thought of this week of sharing this topic, I wasn't sure if I was real inspired about it or passionate to share about fasting. Because it somehow gives a little negative connotation in my mind when I think of fasting. I don't think of something enjoyable or fun. Okay, but I said the title I've chosen is The Christian and Fasting. Is fasting something we should be doing as Christians in 2025? Is it relevant? Something I should be doing as a Christian in my life? And I considered this morning asking for a raise of hands, you know, who fasted this week. But I decided maybe that violates the scripture we just read here of, making you raise your hand and look at me, I fasted. So I decided not to do that. And so I don't know that. God knows, and that's what really matters, right? That's what it says here. But if I were to guess, my guess would be that the majority of you, and myself included, did not really intentionally fast at all. Maybe you did. I'm not sure. You can tell me. I'll let that up to you. And I'm not simply talking of, maybe some of you young fellows are here thinking, well, sure, I fasted this week. I ate a snack before I went to bed at 10 o'clock, and I didn't eat all the way till when I woke up at 5. I'm not talking about that. Isn't that what we call it? Breakfast. We break the fast right overnight. But I'm talking about actually going without food for a day, maybe more. And I have to even admit that I found myself thinking of share. I was planning to share this topic. As I thought about it through the past week, I didn't even fast. You would have thought maybe I would have put my thoughts to practice and go on a day without food. And I'll admit, even last evening as I was studying, I did not fast. I went snuck down to the fridge and got myself a snack. Found myself a jug of that real good Stahlspruce yogurt. Those boys over there, the Stahlspruce boys, make some really good stuff. And I had myself a nice little snack there. All right, we don't look. Fasting is not something we enjoy. And as we talk on fasting this morning, you know, I'm planning to look at this topic only as what pertains to what the Bible says. And is fasting something that benefits me, that is beneficial to me as a Christian? You know, there's many people out there, there's probably many other reasons to fast as to the health of your body, right? There's many people out there, health professionals, that would have a lot of reasons you should be fasting for your health. Maybe it's good for your stomach to take a break, or it's good for your mind, or it's good for this or that. I'm not sure what all they have. And I think there's probably a lot of truth to what they have to say. And you know, as a Christian, in wanting to be a good steward of the body the Lord has given to me, we probably should consider that. We probably should heed some of that advice. But that's not the angle that we're going to be looking at here this morning. Not fasting for physical health, but rather spiritual health. Is there a benefit for my spiritual health in fasting? Now, I don't believe we have a direct Bible command on fasting, like you shall fast twice a year or every month, whatever. We do have the word fasting and fast. We have fasting mentioned in the Bible quite a bit, over 70 times, I believe, at least. And we have record of many key Bible characters who fasted. Jesus also fasted. And we have record of Jesus. He fasted for 40 days. Do you know there was another Bible character that fasted for 40 days as well? Can anyone tell me who that was? Does anyone know who else besides Jesus fasted 40 days? Any? That's possible. That's not the one I have. I may have missed it though. I'm not totally sure. There might be more than one. There was one I found. I'll give you a clue. It's in Exodus. Moses. I believe it's when you find that there in Exodus 34. I believe it's verse 28. And I believe it's when God gave him the commandments. It says he was there in the mount with God for 40 days, and yeah, I forget the wording. He did not eat. He fasted for 40 days. All right, but what about you and I? I raised the question here earlier, should we as Christians fast? Did you notice the wording here that Jesus used? He says, very straightforward, he says, when ye fast. Verse 17, when thou fastest. You know, that wording, and this isn't original with me, that just would assume that God's people will fast, right? This is a part of what they do. You know, Jesus had criticism here for the hypocrites, their way of fasting. But I believe he did not condemn fasting, that I can see. Rather, I believe it was condemning the outward show, the show of fasting for the recognition of men. Were the Jews required to fast under the Old Testament law? Is a question I thought of as I looked at this. There's many times we have record of people fasting in the Old Testament, but interestingly enough, and if you find different, I'm open to correction on this, the only mandatory fasting that I'm told, that I'm aware of, was once a year for the Day of Atonement. And we find that talked about in length there in Leviticus and also in Numbers, I think Leviticus 16 and 23. And as I looked at those passages, commentators weighing in on this said that was a mandatory, a required fast. But as I looked at those words, I didn't actually see that expressly mentioned, not eating. It does talk about it being a Sabbath and a day to afflict their souls and so on. And so I guess maybe that is saying the same thing as fasting. I'm not sure. But that is what I found. That was the one time, and I'm not sure right off if that was one day, a one-day fast, or what that was. But they were commanded to fast. Now, the Pharisees here of Jesus' day, I believe that they were specifically a part of this address as the hypocrites that Jesus was talking to. Now, they fasted. They added requirements, we know, to the law that Moses had given them, that God had given to Moses, requirements that were not there in that law. And I'm told that they fasted twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. I believe that twice a week is reaffirmed there in the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the publican. You recall that story, familiar account. They went up to the temple to pray, right? And you recall what the Pharisee said in his prayer. He says, I fast twice a week. And I give tithes of all that I possess and so on. And so I believe he was probably right. They probably did. They were known to do that. And as I thought about that, you know, I don't typically think very positively about Pharisees. When I hear the name or the word Pharisee, it's kind of like a bad word. You're probably the same way. Jesus had so much rebuke and negative things to say about them that we don't look up to them much, I don't believe. But you know, I can't help, as I looked at that, to kind of admire their dedication in that. If they actually fasted regularly 2 days a week, that kind of dedication, denying yourself, however misguided it was, I'm afraid it puts a lot of us Americans and even American Mennonites to shame, don't you think? Maybe you all do that all the time. I don't know. But they fasted regularly. But they did it to be seen of men, he says. And I don't know what all they were doing here to be noticed, but Jesus says, he said they have a sad countenance. And they disfigure their faces. I don't know what all that means, but it seems like they didn't go to any work, you know, to spruce themselves up that morning, wash their face. I don't think they did any of that. It seems like maybe they went to work to make it look worse and, you know, went to some bother to make their appearance look bad and so that people would say, what's going on with him? Oh, he's fasting today. That's what's going on. He's really something. He's dedicated. He's doing a fast. And Jesus said, don't do like that. You're supposed to wash your face. You should be all cleaned up, looking presentable, just like any other day, in my own words, so that no one knows you are fasting. But he says, God will see. And that's what really matters. The Lord will reward thee, he says. Well, the Pharisees, they fasted, and I found it interesting that they were critical of Jesus and his disciples for not observing the fasts like they did. Found it interesting that three out of the four Gospels record them coming to Jesus and saying, you know, what's up with this? Your disciples, you don't fast. I think it's the one place they said, the disciples of John the Baptist, they fasted, the disciples of the Pharisees, they fast, but your disciples, They don't. Well, what's the deal? And I didn't spend a lot of time with that, but Jesus' reply was about them. The people don't fast when the bridegroom is with them, and so on. And so, yeah. I thought maybe the disciples of John didn't eat because, I thought maybe they fasted because they didn't like eating locusts like John ate. I'm not sure. That was just kind of a side thought that I thought of. What are some Bible examples of people who fasted? I'd like to turn to a few here. We're not going to spend a lot of time with these. I picked out a couple in the Old Testament and the New. Let's turn for the first to Ezra 8. Just like to read some verses that talk about people who fasted. And we'd like to, take a few thoughts. I probably will just read through some of these, not make a lot of comments on them. I believe I have three from the Old Testament and three from the New. Ezra 8, let's just read verses 21 to 23. That's a lot of these are just breaking into an account, but we'll try to, not do damage to, the context. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto our king, unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Okay, I believe they were preparing to head for Jerusalem, and Ezra was a little worried about, it was a dangerous journey, I believe. And he talks about the enemy in the way. And so they fasted about this. He was embarrassed to ask for soldiers and so on from the king. The next one, let's turn to Esther 4. We are right close by to where we read here earlier. Did we read this verse? I'm not sure if we read this verse this morning or not. Verse 16. This is Esther talking to Mordecai, I believe. It says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Okay, so we had a very good introduction to that in the devotional here earlier. But before she went in, she didn't just go in there the next day. She said, we're going to fast. All of you be fasting for 3 days. Don't eat or drink for 3 days. Okay. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. All right, Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. The time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So we see Daniel fasting here. He was mourning, it says. And it would be interesting to look at that more. But he fasted for that long until, I believe, an angel It's an angel that came to him. God heard God noticed his fasting and prayer. Okay, for New Testament, let's go to Acts chapter 10. I believe all these are in the book of Acts. All right. Okay, we're breaking in here. Just one verse here. Verse 30 is what I want to read. The story about Peter going to Cornelius. And this is Cornelius reciting what led up to him calling for Peter. And he says here, verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Okay, so Cornelius was fasting and praying. And we know the story, if we're familiar with that, we know that God listened to his prayers, and he heeded his fasting, and he directed Peter to go to him. Okay, flip over a page or two to Acts 13. Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. We'll just jump down to verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. And laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, we have them praying and fasting, and the Holy Ghost revealing His will in their church extension, and we have them fasting and praying some more and sending Paul and Barnabas away. Flip over to Acts 14, one verse here, verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Okay, we have some examples here and many others that we won't look at of persons who fasted. What are some principles of fasting for us as Christians? Is there some things we can learn? And I don't feel my list of principles is all conclusive at all. First of all, I have fasting is more than simply abstaining from food. I believe fasting is more than simply abstaining from food like the Pharisees were doing. You know, they were doing that. They were fasting. They were, it says maybe they appeared unto men to fast. I had a question in my mind whether they actually were or not, but I guess we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It says, yeah, they were fasting, but it really didn't go, it wasn't coming from the heart, could we say, right? And there was some verses I would like to read here in Isaiah. Isaiah 58. I see this thought brought out in these verses, that it's more than simply just doing without food. God is talking here, I believe, in Isaiah 58. Oh, let's start here at verse 3. He says, Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it just such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of the wicked, of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Okay, and he keeps going on. It would be interesting to keep on reading those verses. But they were missing the point. They were doing Just like the Pharisees, they were doing this fast. But it didn't come from the heart. There was wickedness going on. There was strife and debate and so on, he mentions. They were going through the rituals, but they were missing the reasons. They weren't seeking after God. And they weren't all that concerned about following God. And so I believe fasting in itself, without a spiritual discipline of the heart, really is not all that beneficial. Maybe if there's health benefits, it still is, I don't know. But we're talking about spiritual. Okay. It's more than simply doing without food. Secondly, fasting accompanied by prayer invokes the power of God like nothing else can, is how I have that point worded. I believe fasting is to be accompanied by prayer. You know, each of these accounts that we looked at was a person or group of people where they were fasting and they were seeking God's will. They weren't simply fasting, but they were also praying. They were reaching out to God. They were seeking God. And I believe prayer, along with fasting, beseeches God's power like nothing else can. At least that's how I read Matthew 17, verse 21. I'm not planning to turn to that. You can if you care to. But it's the story of the boy who was possessed with the devils. And we have that story. Jesus was gone, and the disciples were trying to cast out the devils that were in this boy. And they couldn't. And Jesus told them later, you know what? This kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And so I conclude from that prayer and fasting reaches God and there's different words you could use, but invokes the power of God like nothing else, I believe, can. Thirdly, I have, fasting is not about manipulating God, but seeking His will. You know, I think we need to be careful. Fasting is not the attitude that, you know, I'm fasting now, so God will do what I want. God will grant my wish and work this all out for me the way I want. But it's rather yielding my will to God and saying, God, I want your will to be done in this all. It's about humility and wanting to be led, wanting to be directed of God. What are some purposes of fasting for the Christian? What are some times that we should be fasting? I believe one purpose of fasting is to seek to draw closer to God. And I believe that's something we should all want. To know more of God, to want to seek after God, be more like Him. And I believe the centurion there in Acts is an example for us. You know, I don't know what that man Cornelius knew of God. He was a Roman centurion of all people. They were known to be harsh and cruel and not very godly, wouldn't you say? But it seems like he was seeking after God. He was fasting. It seems like that was a regular part of his seeking after God. And also Daniel as well. He was endeavoring to, in that fast, I believe he was beseeching for God's will and wanting to draw closer to God. James 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And I believe that fasting is a way that we do that, that we can do that. In fasting and seeking God in prayer, I believe we can be brought closer to Him. Secondly, and this is maybe very similar, another purpose of fasting is of seeking guidance and direction of God. And I think we see that in pretty much all the examples we looked at of Daniel, of Esther, Ezra. He was looking for direction there for the journey back to Jerusalem. He was worried how this is all going to work out, going through dangerous land. And he brought it to God in fasting and prayer. And we have there in Acts 13, that church at Antioch, I'm not sure what they were together fasting for. If they were fasting for this very thing, I'm not sure. But the Holy Spirit came to them and gave them direction while they were there together fasting, it says. And directed them to what to do in their church extension work. And then after they prayed and fasted some more, they sent Paul away in doing that. And I believe there were church leaders, and there was a church that was seeking God's direction and His leading in spreading the gospel and how they should go about that. And I believe we do well to follow their example in that. And once again, there in Acts 14, that verse we read, they ordained the elders in each church, and they fasted and prayed as they did that, seeking God's will and direction, I believe, in each of those churches. And along with seeking God's direction, I believe fasting is a demonstration of humility. Did we talk about that already? You know that, God, I need your help. I want your will in my life. I want to follow your way. Not my own way, but yours. You know, we all need God's direction in life. We do. And I believe a time of special prayer and fasting is appropriate for any time of life, but maybe especially at times of big decisions. We're at a crossroads. What are we going to choose here? Which way are we going to go? Maybe especially you as youth. You're at a point in life, different times, where you make choices that are going to have an impact on the rest of your life. And, you know, we tend to just rush through some of those decisions sometimes and just make the decision that seems right now. But I encourage you, be careful and prayerful about those decisions. It's fine it's good and right, I believe, to fast and pray. And when there are hard decisions, wherever you are in life, I believe prayer and fasting together in seeking God's will, I believe it's a valuable resource that we have through whatever life brings to us, the various storms and things that we face in life. And also, as I already said, I believe times of maybe ordination and church outreach and so on, we should really be serious about prayer and fasting, I believe, in those times, and seeking God's will in our church and in our life personally and in our brotherhood and so on. And I wonder if we really make use of this resource of fasting and prayer, you know, like God would have us to at times. I think it's an encouragement for us to use that resource. Another purpose of fasting is that of expressing repentance and seeking forgiveness. An example I have of that is David, after the prophet, was it the prophet Nathan? I'm not sure. Rebuked him for his sin in killing Uriah and taking his wife. And we have David repenting. And it says there in 2 Samuel 12, 16, it says he besought God and he fasted. And we're told that he wrote Psalm 51 over that time. And there's many expressions of repentance in that psalm. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I believe this was a time of fasting and repentance, seeking forgiveness that David had. Another example of repentance shown through fasting, I believe we find in the book of Jonah. We know that story. Jonah was in the whale, and the fish spit him out on the land, and he had the same command as before: go preach to those people at Nineveh. And he did that. He went this time. And it says, they believed God. They said, you know what? That's actually for real what that man is saying. Our city is going to be destroyed in 40 days. And they took it to heart. And it says they turned away from evil. And we have the king there. He commands everyone, even down to the animals. It's very interesting. The animals and people all could not eat or drink anything. I'm not sure if there was a time, a certain number of days there or not. I don't recall that. I don't have that written here in front of me. But you know, God saw that that repentance. God saw that outworking of repentance, would you say? And it says he repented. I always find it interesting when it says God repented of what he thought to do. He changed the verdict of judgment that was coming on them. So fasting, I believe, fasting is an expression of repentance and seeking forgiveness. Joel 2, verse 12 and 13 says this: yet even now, saith Jehovah, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Fasting with weeping. Repentance in fasting. I believe another purpose of fasting for the Christian is for help in overcoming temptation. There may be different ways to say that. In Matthew 4, I think it's noteworthy. Jesus, at the start of his ministry, there in Matthew 4, it says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the next words are that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted. That's how Jesus began a time of temptation, with fasting. Like, you think about that. Do we get that serious with the things that we face, with the temptations we face? Do we get that serious, that we're willing to forego something that's good and right? Doing without food, in interest of seeking God's help, seeking power in my life to overcome that. I believe it shows our level of seriousness or lack of it. You know, if we're willing or not to discipline ourselves in that way. And I don't believe that it's that we're leveraging God somehow. But God knows my heart, and he knows your heart. And I believe he takes note of how willing am I? How badly do I want to be victorious? How badly do I want to overcome? Do I care enough to discipline, to have the discipline in facing temptation? And I did mean to bring out this morning that I believe this thing of fasting in our time, in the New Testament time, in the Christian life, I believe it applies to more than just food. Sure, I believe doing without food for sure is a part of it. But I believe the Christian life is a life of self-denial. That is what we're called to. And we're called to forego things at times other than food. Fast, if you will, from things that are, you know, otherwise not wrong in themselves. in closing this morning, maybe I'll simply close with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, paraphrasing it a bit. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, can I put in there, whether you don't eat or don't drink, whether you fast, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, we can't always be fasting. We need food sometimes. We probably shouldn't always be eating as well. But you know, whatever we do, whether in eating or fasting, do it to the glory of God. Do it not to be seen of others, but rather to be seen of God alone. God bless you. May this message be for His glory. Let's kneel for prayer.